We are on the page, accordingly to my schedule here, is 211, paragraph first. And we need someone to read it. We'll ask someone to read it. Maybe Sister Robin will read the very first paragraph, and then Sister Margaret will read the second. We will have two paragraphs. They're pretty much connected and tied together. So,
I have 212 as well. I have paragraph
1 and 212.
Okay. 212, paragraph 1?
Yes.
Well, good that I read a little more. Okay. All right. So let's go with one paragraph then, because this is pretty much is covering a lot. And we will have Sister Robin to read only the big paragraph for now.
Okay.
Sister Robin?
But pause a moment. Let there be no misunderstanding at this point. When the call to the high privilege of becoming members of the church, the bride, and joint heir of Christ ceases, it by no means signifies that all of those already called are sure to be counted worthy and therefore to be chosen. For many are called, but few are chosen, because only a few of the called ones comply with the conditions of the call. Nor does it imply that those not thereafter called to that high calling will be offered no other favors. The fact is that when this high calling ceases, it is because the great designer of the plan of the ages has almost completed that part of his plan intended to be accomplished in the gospel age, the selection of the gospel church, the bride of Christ. All men were not called to that high honor. We are especially informed that God's design was to select for his purpose only a limited number, a little flock, as compared with the mass of mankind. After enough have been called and the time for calling ends, and it is no longer proper to extend this call to others, it will still be possible for those already called who have accepted the call to make their calling and election sure by faithfulness to their covenant of entire consecration to God, even unto death. And it will still be possible for those to fail of so doing. This call, which must end when enough have invited from which to complete the favored little flock, the body of Christ, is far from being the limit of God's love and favor and calling. Its end will merely close the heavenly or high calling. For where this call ends, where this door of opportunity and favor closes, another door begins to swing open, the door of opportunity to enter the highway of holiness, and to go up thereunto, not to the divine nature to which the gospel church was called, but to everlasting life and perfection as human beings. See volume 2, chapters 10 and 11.
Thank you, Sister Robin. Of course, you have the priority for a comment or a question, but just a little few moments here. We remember that from other our studies in the back, it's speaking about the old natural Israel. They didn't make it. They wasn't faithful. They didn't receive our Lord. And of course, the favor goes to Gentiles. And now, Sister Robin, read it, and we can see who are called for a very special favor. So, Sister Robin, if you have a comment or something to say, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, it just shows that God has a divine plan. He mentions it right in this paragraph. And God's purpose is, with the divine plan, to have a limited period for the high calling, which is inviting members to be part of the church class. When that is finished, it doesn't mean the blessings will stop. It just means it changes now, and the focus becomes on blessing the world and mankind. Over.
Thank you, Sister Robin. Very, very clear. So in Heavenly Father's plan, he has special people to be, how to say that in English? I'm translating in my head. What I'm trying to say is for every dispensation, for every age, we're going to be development of class. So right now we're speaking about the gospel age, which is elected the church, the members of Christ's body. So let's open this for discussion, brethren, if we have some comments or question related to this paragraph. It's a very nice one. So let's see. Yes, Brother Bill, over to you, please.
Yes, Brother Igor. This paragraph is loaded, and this paragraph would make a great topical selection. It'd take about 5 sessions to really analyze all the ramifications of this paragraph. But as an overall question, and I'm trying to help you out here, Igor, as an overall question, my question would be, why is this inserted here? We're discussing the parallels. And suddenly he spends a great deal of words and opening up a lot of different subjects. But I'd say the main point of this paragraph might be that the high calling is going to reach an end at some point in time when the full number of 144,000 have been called. But why here? And back to you, Brother Igor.
Yes. And I would like to read let's see, Sister Arlene, maybe. Sister Arlene, if you open the Bible on Hebrews chapter 3, very verse first. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. It will be in connection with Brother Bill was asking. And open the microphone, please, Sister Arlene. We're not hearing you yet.
I'm not there. Hebrews what?
Hebrews chapter 3.
The first one.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ.
Yes. Particularly, Sister Arlene, do you have any comment to Brother Bill's introduction or the verse that we read?
No, I don't.
So what we're having here is very different than what actually the call was having the old natural Israel. So this is different. And if we look over the paragraph, it says that many are called, but a few are chosen. And probably I continue with this statement, many are called, but a few are chosen. So, and of course, Daniel 2, the last chapter, 12 is speaking about our days right now, about this knowledge, how big is increasing the knowledge, and everybody can find the volumes. Everybody, of course, has the Bible, But this is not enough. The request or the calling is very special. And might be many that my running, specifically I'm referring to a nominal church, right? But there actually a few are chosen. So what do you think about this? Oh, I didn't see. Sister Margaret, please.
I'll just put my hand up. That's fine. Thank you. Well, because the beginning of this paragraph, but pause a moment, and so we're dealing with parallel dispensations. Brother Billow mentioned as or asked why at this point, and I see the next paragraph on 213, but now for the exact date of the return of favor to Israel. This, the call does relate to Israel, and also I would say they're double because they were first offered the call to the high calling, and of course they did not respond, and therefore it was opportune for it to go to the Gentiles. And then once, I think Acts 15 is a good scripture where it will return, let's see, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles on whom my name is called. So to me, there's a definite relationship to Israel at this point because the call first went to them. It was, they were rejected. And of course, there's quite a lot in Romans 11 too. But to me, that's the connection of trying to fit it in with the parallel dispensations. But I realized that was in relation to Brother Bill's question.
Yes. That's very good connection. And that's exactly how it happened. Thank you, Sister Margaret. And we'll go to Brother Brad, please.
Thank you, Brother Igor. I'll continue on a little bit with Sister Margaret's thought. And she went forward to the next paragraph about Israel's return. If we go backwards to the paragraph on the bottom of 211, it talks about the times of restitution and the favor returning to fleshly Israel. So I think that what a lot of people that look at scriptures, first off, they fail to identify dispensational truth. That's one of the things that we've been blessed to be taught. And so this The what has happened to natural Israel is they lost that position of the high calling. And then somehow we find in a revelation or Romans 11 that they are restored to God's favor and blessing. And what I think the confusion comes in is that people don't realize what is the purpose of the gospel age. They're thinking Israel had the high calling. We have the high calling. We took the place of Israel as Gentiles. And therefore, that's kind of the where the story ends. It ends on an individual salvation basis. But really, the whole point is to fulfill the calling to the high calling. And then once that's completed, then Israel is restored to favor. And then the blessings go out under the new covenant. So when people, a lot of times they read, they look at the scriptures and they say, well, we're under the new covenant, right? It began, it was the old law covenant. We're the new covenant. We're the new Israel. And so the new covenant is made with us, but that lacks a careful study in what the words of the new covenant really tell us in so many different scriptures. So bottom line to me is that it's not identifying that there is this intervening age, and people should all be asking why 2,000 years before between Jesus' first advent as a king and no kingdom. Why 2,000 years? Well, the answer is the development of the church. Over.
Oh, sorry. I thought my microphone is closed. I was looking for a verse that it's connected with your comment, Brother Brad. it's very interesting because to be blessed, the natural Israel, the actually church needs to be in action. So that needs to be already developed. That needs to be already full for to bless actually the natural Israel. So that's why Brother Brad is telling us in the previous paragraph that they will be blessed and they will be having these opportunities in the future. Did you find it? Well, let's go to Brother Jerry first.
Well, I think the questions have all been very, very interesting, and I appreciate the answers and the thoughts about many called and few are chosen, but also Brother Bill's question about why this paragraph is dealing so much with the call of the church and the ending of that call. We notice right around that phrase about many called and few are chosen, he says that the Lord has almost completed his plans for the church, almost finished. And by no means signifies that all those already called are sure to be counted worthy and so forth. It seems to me that he is beginning to introduce a parallel here of what happened in Jesus' day and what's happening at the end of the gospel age. We are approaching the end of the end, but as in Jesus' day, there were various points, like when he came and was baptized, when he died and was resurrected, at the end of the 70 weeks of and the call going to the Gentiles, and then when Jerusalem was destroyed. And I think he's introducing here that there are various steps also at the end of the gospel age that are marking the end of the, not that it is ended, but that few are left in the very exclusive special opportunity to enter in before the door is closed. But it is not up to us to close the door. Yeah. When it is closed, it will be manifest by other signs, and particularly those in Israel. There's this text in Revelation 3, verse 7. He that has the key of David, he opens, and no man should shut it. And when it is shut, no man should open it. But so it is, he's, I think, drawing some steps of the gradually closing down of the gospel age work and calling. And there he says opens another door of opportunity. But that was the same with Israel. As the door was closing for Israel, it was gradually opening to the Gentiles. And at the end of this age, the ending of the call of the church will open a grander calling to all mankind. Over.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. I was listening and looking in the paragraph as you mentioned, and it's saying so nice. This call, which must end when enough have been invited from which to complete the favored little flock, the body of Christ, is far from being the limit of God's love and favor and calling. So only Heavenly Father knows for sure when that door will be closed. And this is remembering me the flood moment when the door was still open for another 7 days. And only God was closing the door with the wind. So it's very, very interesting. It's the Lord's job. Brother Walter, please. Thank you, Brother Jerry.
Well, I like that 7-day opening or closing the door picture, Brother Igor. Anyway, I think in Romans 11, 12, and 15 kind of enter in principle here. That's when they follow them being the riches of the world, how much more their fullness. And the 15th verse, for the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Very directly related to the church and Israel here. And as has been earlier expressed with Cornelius coming in, that closed the door to them fully. But any Jew afterward could come into Christ by a consecration and the usual methods of approach to the Lord. I appreciated Sister Margaret's 1913, page 84 reference of the Lord hearing prayers of others. And I think this fits very well here with, you know, many have an appreciation of some basic principles, but the there's only 144,000 seats in the building. And somebody has to leave the building before somebody else can come in. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very logical illustration here of the changing of the situation. I don't know if any of that came through the way I meant it, but Lord bless your listening. Over.
Oh, yes, we followed the connection. Thank you, Brother Walter. Also, we would like to read Isaiah chapter 2, brethren. Probably we'll read verse 2 and the third one. Let's see who wants to read it. Let's go with Sister Sharon. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. So that will be in connection with, as well, what Brother Brad was saying.
You're speaking of me, Brother?
This is Sharon Leslie. I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay. Isaiah 2, verse 2?
That's correct.
Okay.
And 3.
And 3. Isaiah 2, verse 2 and 3. And it shall come to pass, mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And third verse, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I think possibly it's showing a little bit what the church will be doing. Over.
Do you think, Sister Sharon, this is already the moment when the church is gone?
Oh, to come to pass at the last days.
Verse 3. Because it says very last words. It says, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So we're thinking this is the moment when already the church is gone. So that's the moment when the people will start to learn, because the prophets will be already, yes, alive, right?
Agree.
Okay.
All Thank right. you.
Okay, let's see, do we have any comments or question to our paragraph? I really like how Brother Jerry said about, oh, I'm sorry, Sister Sharon, go ahead.
I just wanted to mention that discussing this 1881 and 1878 and 1881, the thought about the high calling was closed. On if we go a little bit further in our second volume, on page 235, It says, well, of course, the Revelation 3:16 is the thought about when the nominal church systems were spewed out. But it says, from the time of 1878, they are not the mouthpieces of God, nor in any degree recognized by him. And the 3.5 years following the spring of 1878, which ended October A.D. 1881, corresponds to the 3.5 years of continued favor to individual Jews in the last half of their 70th week of favor. And I think Brother Jerry brought that out. And then that we recognize in 1881, marking the close of the special favor to Gentiles, the close of the high calling. Over.
But the door is still open.
Yo, yes!
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Sharon. We will have Brother Walter next. Brother Walter, over to you, please.
I was just thinking how well this Isaiah 25:9 fits in here, 25:9 of Isaiah. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And I think the a lot of this kind of fits in with our second hour of the second presence and the revealing to the world and so forth, that people have kind of a fuzzy view, but when the door opens for them, when the church is complete, they'll just be tickled pink to have the kingdom blessings come their way. Over.
Thank you, Brother Walter. You're reminding me of the thought that I got been for a while. But I will pass it, so go to Brother Jerry.
No, I don't. I just think that it's worth expanding a little bit. Sister Sharon said the closing of the high calling, 1881. That needs a little qualification. I know it's a lesson ahead of us. It's not the end of the high calling altogether, but a closing of the general call, which was open to the open to all, just as Jews came in even after Cornelius was called, but it was the exclusive or general call to anyone who came in from Christendom. So it could be a little confusing when someone says the closing of the call to the high calling as if it's already closed now. I don't think that's the thought, but it'll be covered later. Over.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you, Brother Jerry. It's a lot of discussion between the brethren about this moment. And, of course, we understand how Brother Russell explaining this in Volume 2. Prefatio? You know what I mean. I can't say that in English still. Oh, boy. How you say that, Brother James, in English? What Brother Russell said in Volume 2? The foreword. Yes. Yes, you have the hand up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Trying to help the thought that Jerry's presenting there a little bit. You have in the parable of the wedding, okay, that he's, you know, frustrated with Israel. And so he goes and says, gather all, both good and bad, into my house so that it will become full. All right. Notice it's good and bad. Well, that's the general call, I think, which is what Brother Russell is referring to as the general call. But that general call ends at the, I believe, at the time of the Lord's, basically at around the time of the Lord's return. But it becomes a little bit more specific. He's no longer saying for all to come in because, you know, we don't want any more bad. We just want the good at this point for replacements. I think he gets into that a little bit further in the chapter. But so that's why you have in the sixth stage of the church, it says, I've I have given you an open door. I am he that opens and no man closes, and closes and no man opens. And so you have an open door during the sixth stage. But you know, notice during the seventh stage of the church, what's happening there? There, the Lord is standing at a closed door, and he's knocking, all right? In other words, he's now inviting those who have the proper heart condition and have made the, you know, done what the Lord is looking for, and he's looking to replace those who didn't make it. You know, you have the idea of the called, chosen, and faithful. Well, in this particular chapter, he's only dealing with the called and the chosen. But in Revelation 17, he's talking about those that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. So obviously there are those who don't make it, and they fall into the great company. So that leaves a position open for the 144,000. And so he's knocking on the door to those who he's now inviting to that ultimate call to replace those who basically didn't make it. Hopefully my words are understood.
Okay. Your comment, Brother James, remembering me of that parable of Jesus who catched 153 fish, and he was it was selected 153 big fish. So, very interesting. Okay? And yes, we understand how is speaking about Matthew 25:25 about the parable, and of course, from Heavenly Father's mercy, there is another clause which till the end they are dying faithfully. They are washing their robes, and accordingly they will have the spiritual life. I think we will move further, brethren. We still have time accordingly to my clock here. Let's go ahead and read. It's really in connection, this little paragraph with the bigger one. So, yeah, we have to read them together. So we'll ask, who is there? Let's see. Sister Marilyn, we will ask you to read the little paragraph, and probably, I don't know, Sister Sharon Failfield, are you with us today to read the second paragraph? It's a little bit longer.
Okay. But now for the exact date of the return of favor to Israel, which marks the exact end of the heavenly call, from which day Israel will begin gradually to see and to have increasing evidences of returning divine favor, and from which day also God's call to heavenly honors will cease, and only these already called will be privileged to win that prize by the faithfulness to the close of life.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Marilyn. Sister Sharon? Probably she's a little away from the computer.
Are you calling Sharon Fifield?
Yes.
But I got lost. Where are we?
So we're on page 213, volume 2, paragraph 2.
Fleshly Israel?
That's correct.
Okay. Fleshly Israel, like spiritual Israel, was called of God to be his peculiar people, a peculiar treasure unto him above all other people, the one an earthly treasure and a type of the other, which is a heavenly treasure. Separated from the world, they were the recipients of special favor from God for 1845 years. This period began with the beginning of their national life at the death of Jacob, the last of the patriarchs, when they were first recognized as a nation and called the 12 tribes of Israel a national name. See Genesis 49:28, 46:3, Deuteronomy 26:5. These 1845 years of national life and favor ended with their rejection of Messiah, A.D. 33, when 5 days before his crucifixion, he presented himself to them as their king and, not being received, declared, "Your house is left unto you desolate," Matthew 23:38. This, the end of their favor, was the point of their fall, which continued for 37 years and ended A.D. 70 in the total destruction of their national polity, as well as of their people, or their city, temple, etc. Should be noted, however, that God continued his favor to the individuals of that nation after the nation, as a nation, had been cut off, for the gospel call was confined to individuals of that nation for 3.5 years after Pentecost, after the death of Christ, not reaching Cornelius, the first Gentile so favored, Acts 10, until that time. This was the full end of the 70 weeks of favor promised through Daniel, as it had been written, "He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." That 70th week of years began at our Lord's baptism. His cross, as predicted, marked its middle, and favor was confined to fleshly Israel until its close.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Good reading. Thank you, Sister Sharon. And this, the last paragraph, is explaining word in word with on the introduction of Brother Bill at the very beginning. So we really appreciate how this Brother Russell is writing down for us. Okay, let's open this, brethren, for discussion and see what we have here. I do not see any hands. That's telling me that we're thinking on these paragraphs. Not sure if Sister Marilyn has a point with the little paragraph that she read. No?
Well, I think he's pointing out that there's going to be a time where there's a returning of divine favor for Israel, and how we should be looking for those signs, which we have seen. I mean, the difference between where Israel was when Brother Russell was alive and where Israel is today is incredible. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. That's a good start. Thank you. Brother Bill?
Brother Igor, the way I understand it, too, just to further the discussion, is last week, I think we talked about, or it might have been the week before, blindness in part has happened to the nation of Israel, and it was it would be temporary, is what the scripture's saying, that it will be restored gradually. And that's what Brother Russell's bringing up, that after our Lord's return, the blindness that Israel had would be lifted somewhat, and they would begin to understand God's favor returning to them. Over.
Yeah. And then, of course, is explaining down exactly how this favor of 1845 was beginning, and where it was beginning at the death of Jacob, and was finishing on the when they rejected Messiah on the 33. So we're seeing pretty much a good amount of favor. Right? Well, I do not see, I'm not sure, Brother Bill, did you left that candle or you have a comment?
No, I just didn't take it down, Brother. Sorry.
Okay. So, Brother Walter?
I had a question. The short paragraph Sister Marilyn read, the exact date of return of favor to Israel, which we understand would be 1878, and then which marks the exact end of a heavenly call, which I understand would be 1881. How do we harmonize these two thoughts, or am I not understanding it correctly? Over.
Okay. Who has an answer? Brother Brad?
I'm just going to add to the question.
Okay.
I'm just going to get a scripture here. We read about the number 144,000 in various places, but particularly I think my mind usually goes back to Revelation 7 verse 4, which says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And then we find that it's not until chapter 8, verse 1, that the seventh seal is opened, which we typically would date that with 1874. So is there a, you know, is there a chronological point that needs to be entered into the discussion, the fact that we're in the sixth seal still? In Revelation 7, because the seventh seal is not open until 8:1, so that would put it prior to 1874. Over.
Thank you, Brother Brad. It's a little hard for me now. We'll go to Brother Jerry.
Well, not exactly on Brother Brad's point, but maybe in general. The time of favor to Israel began when the 12 sons were blessed and they were called the 12 tribes of Israel. In Matthew 27:38, when Jesus was about to die, he said, your house is left unto you desolate. We may have to relate back a little bit to realize that the death of Jacob was in 1813 BC. And the Jesus cast off Israel in AD 33. So between those dates, there's 1845 years. But the house was cast off, I think, corresponding to 1878, when, in Revelation, come out of her, my people, the nominal Babylon was cast off from favor the same way. But time continued, special favor or allowing natural Israel to be exclusively coming in until Cornelius, another 3.5 years at the end of the 70 weeks. So that's extending from 1878, another 3.5 years to 1881. But so this declining favor to the natural house and declining favor to the nominal Christian house was declining, and at that time it was opened up to others that were not part of that old system, either the Jewish system or the nominal Christian system. So there's this, the parallel points that he brings out is the time of declining favor to Israel and to spiritual Israel. Over.
Okay. Hope that helped to answer to Brother Walter. Brother Walt?
A little bit.
Okay.
The paragraph seems to say the favor to begin with natural Israel. We understand the Isaiah 40 context. We would tie in with 1878 in particular, and the end of the high calling is 1881, which it's kind of a parallel to a period of time, but not it's italicized exact date in the paragraph, which I'm still a little fuzzy on that. Or
okay, I saw a hand of Sister Stephanie, and it's down, so I'm not sure if... No comment, okay. Brother Brad, do you have a comment? Because we personally tried to follow you with your additional thought, but of course I didn't catch it, so I'm not sure if you have a thought of Brother Walter's question. Sister Sharon, okay. She closed the microphone. It's good.
Well, maybe we'll hold off on these until we get more further along in this discussion. I have a couple thoughts, but I don't want to get too far afield here at this point. Over.
Okay. Then we will put a little question mark here. I'm really curious on this as well. Okay. We have a hand of Brother James. Brother James, to you, please.
Yeah. The parable that I originally referred to is found in Matthew 22:10, where the servants went out and gathered, you know, both good and bad. And, of course, the idea is he's shutting down that general call. And you see this actually in Revelation 19:9. It says, "Then the angel told me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." In other words, this, and you notice the timing of this is actually during the harvest. All right. And so it's during the harvest that there's this individual inviting instead of just inviting everybody. Okay. In other words, he's shutting down the general call, and he's being very specific in the call. The call still goes on. Okay. He's standing at the door and he's knocking at those that he is now inviting, but it's an individual knock. It's not a general, you know, open door policy. Now it's gotten specific. And I think that's the thought that you get from Revelation 19, verse 9. Over.
Yeah, I personally not following you, Brother James. I'm sorry. Probably we will discuss this later somehow when I will be back, because we understand the call that it's called the church is special. And then when we'll be earthly phase, it will, of course, will be different, and they will have a period of 100 years. But I'm assuming what you're saying, it's still on this side somehow, which is I'm not following.
Absolutely. It's definitely on this side of the
that's
veil.
That's my point. I can catch your saying is this side, but I do not see how that's working. So,
okay.
Sister Stephanie, please.
I just wanted to refer to, I'm not going to try to explain it, but volume 6 page 94 and 95 is really helpful on the general call ending in 1881. It's just there are a lot of really to the point sentences in that that section, and the thought of it is that the general call ceased in 1881, and because there were 144,000 had been called by that time, and then after that date, anyone coming in would be taking the place of someone who had forfeited their crown. Prior to 1881, anyone making a full consecration would be assured of the availability of a crown. But after 1881, the number was complete. And so then anyone coming in and making a full consecration would be a replacement. Hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And I have those page numbers again?
94.
In volume 6?
Yes, it's 94 and 95, volume 6. Yes, it does, Sister Stephanie. I was thinking about this too, but I cannot translate in English, and you said nicely, replacement. So after 81, who is losing the crown, if someone is consecrating, is getting the price, and that might be related to the last hour of the 11th hour from the parable. I think that's what Sister Stephanie is mentioning. Okay. I think, Brother Jerry, you will still take over from this moment next Sunday, because we still have many things on this paragraph, but the time is not allowing. So I guess you will probably read one more time the paragraph, or just continue with the discussion. So it's
still, I think it's a good idea. Yeah. We'll begin reading, we will continue discussion in these two paragraphs, 213. Very good.
Yeah, the paragraph 213, paragraph 2. That's when where is big too good to be good to read it. Okay. We will bring this to a close, brethren. And we have